to Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Do you feel the need to do more with your life? Are limiting beliefs holding you back from true success? Enjoy a unique blend of interviews, discussions, and transformation coaching in every show. Get the tools for success. The Mindset Transformation Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today I am speaking to author Kenya Asa. Kenya is the author of Sacred Girl, Spiritual Life Skills for Conscious Young Women. Welcome, Kenya. I am going to enjoy our conversation today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Awesome. Great. I'm excited too. We are going to speak today on the topic of how to cultivate consciousness and life skills for youth with trauma. And this is a topic that I'm intimately associated with, being a foster mom and an adoptive foster mom. So Kenya and I are going to have some really interesting conversation. And, you know, she doesn't know this, but I just learned something that is profound that opened and changed my perception of trauma and behavior and children. So hopefully, you know, I will be able to, you know, add that to our conversation today. But
wonderful.
Before we get started, yes, awesome, right, yes. Before we get started, let me tell you a little bit more about Kenya. Kenya Asa is a social worker who's experienced counseling girls ages 12 to 22, has given her valuable insight into their thoughts on the validity of spiritual practice. As a primary counselor in a residential drug rehabilitation program created specifically for traumatized girls, and this program was one of the few such programs in the U.S., Kenya created and implemented a weekly spirituality group. In the next few years, she discovered that confusion, insecurity, and fearlessness are pervasive among girls, and they have few internal skills with which to combat their issues. Education and information about women's spiritual lives are greatly lacking in our schools and our society. For young women, this dilemma can result in several things, and I'm going to list them. Banishment of all spiritual and or religious beliefs due to anger and disappointment. Adopting non-traditional practices simply for shock value or to gain a sense of control. A sense of abandonment and loneliness born of fear, which may result in filling the emptiness with negative people, substance abuse, unhealthy sexual relationships, or early motherhood. Feelings of hopelessness, which may result in depression and other mental health issues. Now, because of these statistics, Kenya created a spirituality group for her caseload, and all the teen girls who had been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. The group was born out of a desire to understand why some girls who had experienced intense trauma seemed to have extraordinary internal struggles and mental issues, while others did not. This group led to the creation of a spirituality curriculum of sorts that eventually turned into her book, Sacred Girl, Spiritual Life Skills for Conscious Young Women. Kenya facilitates Sacred Girl workshops and continues to utilize the book in her work with adolescents, teens, and young adults. All right, Kenya, that was a very thorough biography on, you know, where you came from as far as writing your book.
Yes.
But I normally like to start off the show by just giving our listeners a context about who you are. And a lot of times people you know, find their passion because they're intimately related to it in some way. So can you tell us your journey to becoming a social worker? Do you, and what was your childhood like? Were you in the foster care system too?
I was not in the foster care system. I had a fairly normal childhood, I guess you can say. My parents were divorced, but I was really close to both of them. I still am very close to both of them. And
what age? I'm gonna pull an Oprah. What age were your parents divorced? How old were you when your parents divorced? Can't even say the question.
That's okay. So I was about 5 when they separated, and they didn't like legally get a divorce until I was about 11.
Okay.
So we were separated for a long time, which was fine with me. When I was a kid, I do remember being happy, actually, which I know is very unusual, but being happy that my mom and I moved out and my dad had a place and I had a place with my mom because they just fought too much. And I to this day remember vividly driving down the street, like away from my old house, thinking to myself, this is great. I do not have to hear them argue anymore, you know? So I was also really lucky that they co-parented really well and they were really good teammates as far as parenting me. So I didn't really have what I would consider an incredibly unusual childhood. I was just the child of divorced parents. But I was always very interested in psychology, and I was really interested in behavior as a child. So I became very interested just in psychology, even in high school. And so that's kind of what led me down the long path to being a social worker and a counselor.
Now, how would you say that you were interested? What made you become interested in psychology and behavior? There had to be a fire starter.
I think that the fire starter was really my psychology class in high school. Okay. I think that was really what started the whole thing. I had a very interesting psychology teacher, and she just made things fascinating. She made the whole idea of human behavior very, very interesting. And my mom is a scientist, and she's very scientific. And so I wasn't that interested so much in things like brain chemistry or any of that stuff. That's the kind of thing that my mom likes. And then my dad, on the other hand, is an artist. And so he's very interested in what moves people. And so I was always very artistic. I did a lot of things with my dad when I was a kid and participated in a lot of artsy things. And so I think that's probably why. I think that's probably why I became somebody who was really interested in psychology.
Okay. I get it. You know, when I was in school, when you talked about you had an interesting teacher that made behavior interesting, I remember when I was in high school, and I had a very interesting biology teacher, and I became fascinated with the body and, you know, how it worked and all that stuff. But, you know, I felt at the time that I didn't have the, you know, the academic to pursue being a doctor.
Right.
So I let that one go. But yeah, I can understand. I was very interested, and I still am, a bit about how the body works and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I can understand you being interested in how the mind works and behavior. So that's perfect. It also means that you're working on your purpose, because you from an early age you were tagged, and that's what interests you. Because when you're on purpose, it's because of, like I use the term fire starter, somebody pulls on something that's already inside of you and then you just it just clicks. All right.
Right.
So so after school, I'm assuming you got your you went to school. I mean, after high school, you got your degree as far as psychology. That's how it went.
Absolutely. So I did. I got my bachelor's degree in psychology, and then I got my master's degree in counseling psychology. So it was all I didn't really veer. I didn't really veer from that. That was just my area of interest, and I loved it. I loved grad school because then I got to study only what I wanted to study. I got to study. I didn't have to muddle my day with things like history or math.
Okay.
I got to, I just got a copy of my transcripts recently too. And I was like, oh yes, this psychology and that psychology and this counseling and that counseling. And it was all what I wanted to do. And so, you know, and I'm also a makeup artist and I'm also a yoga teacher. And so
so you have some arts included. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. And spirituality too. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's all part, you know, fruit from the same tree in a way, because even doing people's makeup, it's very, very intimate. It's almost sometimes like being a bartender where somebody will be telling you their issues or their problems or whatever. And especially brides, when I do bridal makeup, you know, it's almost like a little counseling session while you're doing their makeup. And it's a very intimate thing. And that's just kind of the way that I am as a practitioner. I'm very intimate with people. I like to have very close conversations and very intimate relationships, because if I'm getting into your personal business, especially if you're somebody that's had some sort of trauma, then we kind of have to know each other, you know?
Yeah. As a coach, I do the same thing too. All right, so our topic today is going to be how to cultivate consciousness and life skills for youth with trauma. And you specialized, you know, later on because I guess maybe you were planted in the rehabilitation center where, I'm intimately familiar with it, because I mentioned that to you before our interview that I was a foster mom, and I adopted three kids from the foster care system. And two of them, they were twins that have a really hard time. Almost all the things that you're talking about, they are experiencing. The boy is a little different. You know, he had some anger issues. He had some other kind of issues, but he never acted out of behavior. You know, I don't know, I guess he dreamed thought about it and all that. Right, he never acted out. So I have taken my girls a couple of times, 2 years in a row to be specific, to what you're talking about as far as programs that are, you know, concentrated on behavior and trauma. And let's get into our topic, and tell me how you transitioned into helping the girls as far as, and I think you're only talking about girls here, right? Because you said young women.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So how did you transition your behavior, master in psychology and counseling, into specifically young girls? And let's touch on the foster care system as well, because you probably get most of your clients from that system.
Yeah, and so that's a great question, and I love going down memory lane about this, because it was really an interesting way that I kind of fell into it. I retired from social work I just retired from social work a year ago so that I could do what I want to do full time, which is more work with girls, more writing, and doing things the way I want to do them, because I'm a little bit of a rebel in the way that I like to work with people. And I just kind of want to do what I want to do. And when I started working back in the late 90s with my girls that were at the treatment center, I was really dropped into that position. And I was a little bit blindsided, actually, because I really wanted the job. I really wanted to work at a drug treatment facility. I really loved working with children, and I already had experience working with kids and youth prior to that, because I've been working with kids and families for 30 years at this point, right?
Okay.
And so when I got the job, I didn't know that I would be specializing, that my caseload would be specifically the girls that had been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. So when I found that out, I was like, whoa, what am I doing here? Like, I have no experience with this. And so I quickly gained the experience because I was with them all the time. You know, they were in a residential facility. I ran groups. I worked with them. I worked with their families. I drove them from place to place. I did all kinds of activities with them. And so I had to learn really quickly how to work with girls that have these types of issues.
Now I'm going to interrupt again. So it comes from a variety of things. What was your most, what was your top two focuses? I mean, when I say focuses, what were the top two things that caused the PTSD in your group?
Oh, goodness. So it's very complex. I can say that. I would say that overall, the overall issue, I would probably say, is neglect.
Okay.
And that's putting it very mildly in a lot of ways, because by neglect, it could be total abandonment by your parents, being raised by people that weren't really committed to you, and not even in the foster care system. It could be just other family members. And really just being left to your own devices. I had a couple of girls that were very involved in gangs. And so then there's all of the stuff that comes with being involved in a gang, which is often a lot of sex, a lot of sexual assault, sometimes unwanted pregnancies, a lot of drugs, and then a lot of fear because of the behavior, the activities that the gangs are involved in, and a lot of that kind of being very hyper vigilant about your own safety. So there was a lot of that. There was a lot of, and then of course, once the drugs become a factor, that's another layer to the whole thing, because a lot of people will get involved in drugs to mask the pain of their childhood. And then they're just creating another layer of pain.
Another layer. So how often did you see sexual abuse?
All the time, every day.
Okay.
So that's one
of the top ones,
client.
Too. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, every client. And it was, and again, sometimes that wasn't the original issue. You know, sometimes the original issue was that you were completely neglected, and so then you fell into something that maybe you even thought was a relationship, but it was actually sex abuse.
Okay.
You know, and I had some girls that were prostituting, you know, so there were a lot of things that I would say that almost every kid had some sort of sexual abuse or sexual trauma that was involved in our treatment plan and all of that. Yeah.
Wow. That is just so incredibly sad, because, you know, I come from a time frame or a time zone, because I'm in my 50s, that the things that you're talking about would not be something that I would go to if, you know, I had abandonment issues or, I think maybe I would run the art away. But what you've said is, because like I said, I mean, I'm intimately involved in this, so I'm not listening to it as somebody that is not involved. And what you're saying is absolutely true. And I still don't get it. And I'm a coach, and I understand mindsets, and I understand everything. What I was saying to you at the beginning of our conversation before we went on the air is that I think that I've just found out why. But, you know, I'll see if, you know, in our conversation, if it'll be a good place for me to plug it in. But
I can't wait to hear it. I cannot wait to hear it. I'm just gonna let you know.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it totally baffles me that you come into the foster care system, or you come into someone adopting you and taking you, you know, and trying to love you, and this is the response. And it's the response 90% of the time. Like you said, there's a few girls that you've said that experience intense trauma, but they don't go that route. Very few,
right?
You know,
right.
But most of the others are, you know, like a statistic. So, all right. So you got into that, and what you're saying is that you were dropped into this, and I guess that made you again design something or design a program or try to work with them. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so exactly what you said is exactly true, and it was exactly my dilemma, because you would think it seems reasonable that you would come across, you know, some kids, and I learned this later working in adoptions, you know, because after that job, I then went to working for the county, and my first job was in the adoptions unit. And then I went to another job in the same county, and then I came back to the adoptions unit. I have a lot of experience in what you're talking about, and you would really think that that we would embrace someone that had been through all of this or been through something and provide them with some stability and some love and some care. And then things might work out.
yeah.
But that is
the normal mind thinking. But
it's
the normal mind thinking, right?
I was so glad when I was in adoptions that I had a lot of experience with kids with trauma prior to being in adoptions, because then I could have these real conversations with parents. Because we had parents that, especially with teenagers, we had adoptive parents that would give them back. And, like, no kidding. Because teenagers are hard under the best of circumstances, right?
Yes.
They're hard even when everything is stable.
Right.
But then you have some that where it's not stable, or they've been through so much stuff, and it's very, very it affects them very strongly.
Well,
and
I will tell you, I've been through hell. I try to give them back, and they told me they're not rentals. You can't give them back.
Right. I mean, wow. Whoever was in charge of that, they told, you know, they, like, because sometimes we had parents that they were
I think you're in California. I'm in Florida.
Yes.
Maybe the laws are different.
Yes, maybe, because, we had people, we had all kinds of stuff. And it wasn't often, but it does happen, because what you have is people who are unprepared, and it's through no fault of their own. They're unprepared because they are not trained by people who have training in trauma.
Right.
And so that is a huge piece that I feel is really, really crucial, because you think, oh, adoption, and you're bringing people together, and it's going to be all lovey-dovey, you know, unicorns and rainbows, and
It doesn't work. It doesn't work, because most of the kids have attachment disorder, and they can't attach, and then
or
anyway,
work.
All right.
Or
yes.
I mean, or they have super strong attachments to people
to their
that
mom?
Are their biological mom,
right.
or
biological
super
mom.
Strong attachments to inappropriate people.
People, right.
So
yes.
not, you can have an attachment disorder and have that mean that you attach to every single person you see.
Yes.
And
boy, you're talking my language, girl. I want to almost sing. I want to almost play the ukulele. The ukulele. All right, so let's digress to the boys now. Why is it that the boys, what is the difference between a girl and a boy with PTSD?
So boys are not my area of expertise. I have
okay.
spent most of my time like focusing on girls, but I know about it. It's just
a high level overview. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm happy to talk about it. I have a boy myself, and and one thing that has been found through studies, there was definitely one particular study that I can't quite put my finger on right now, but I did read it, which was the studying of the brain chemistry between traumatized boys and traumatized girls. And it was a fairly small study, but it still kind of got the job done as far as the area of the brain in the boys and the girls was very different after experiencing trauma.
Trauma, okay.
And so, different from each other. And so that probably explains some of the ways that comes out in boys and girls' behavior, because girls have a tendency to internalize their pain, and boys have a tendency to externalize their pain. And they also have a tendency to not really connect to it and to also ignore it and deny it.
Boys or girls you're talking about?
Boys.
Boys. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Because boys want to be strong and they want to, and they don't always want to connect emotionally. And again, that's all boys in a lot of ways because of our society. Mm-hmm. But then if you have a boy that has either personally experienced trauma by being hurt or abused or sexually assaulted, and then you have a boy who has experienced trauma that he has seen, I've worked with a lot of boys like this. That he's seen other people experience trauma, or he's seen his father beat his mom, or, you know, something like that.
Right.
Those are different. Those take a different set of coping skills. And so the way of treating boys and the way of intervening with boys is different than it is with girls, because with girls, just like my book focuses on what works for girls, which is helping them find their voice and helping them use tools to strengthen themselves and to gain empowerment. It is different
with boys, right? Yes.
Boys. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I've
so
had a totally different experience too. Totally different experience. Not that he was the best kid, but he didn't do any of the things that the girls did, and it's yeah, and he had probably as much trauma, and he had a mental issue too, because his mother was schizophrenia, and he had some tendencies, and still, he was absolutely amazing as far as behavior goes. All right, well, we've got a great start. I said that I was going to enjoy this conversation, and I can't wait to talk about what we're going to talk about in the next segment. So don't go anywhere. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come right back. So we're going to get into the meat and potatoes. So stay tuned. Be right back.
Having trouble getting a merchant account? Need an international payment gateway? Rejected by another merchant account provider? No problem. iPayTotal wants your business. Our high-risk merchant accounts allow you to accept all major credit and debit cards. Our Motto payment gateway allows accepting transactions on the phone. iPayTotal delivers payment solutions and products to help grow your business. Contact us now for your payment processing at info@iPayTotal.com or visit iPayTotal.com. www.ipaytotal.com, your online payments provider.
Hey If you would like to improve the quality of your life and don't have the budget to hire a coach, then I have an offer for you. Why not play the game of life and learn the skills to maneuver life situations? How many of you have played the game of Monopoly and learned the value of having property to collect rent? Well, Points of View is a leading company in the field of training for personal and business development. Points of View use games to explore significant life themes in a fun, unique, and powerful way. Games are designed for use by professionals, organizations, or individuals. The games are designed to help you look deep inside yourselves and the environment around you. It is a stimulating exploration that sharpens your senses and opens up new possibilities. So who can use Points of View games? Anyone wishing to reconnect and enhance communications with themselves and others. Anyone in search of fresh perspectives on dilemmas, relationships, and decision-making. Those seeking interchange and the opportunity to build new bridges. Points of View is a collection of various games. The coaching game features 65 associate cards that explore significant everyday themes. Punction fosters associate connections between photos, themes, and questions. These flexible combinations make it a fascinating tool, highly effective in dynamic therapy, coaching, and counseling. Faces is a powerful way to get to know ourselves through the observation of others. For more information or to purchase one or more of these games, head over to https://poy4all.com/transform, which is TRANSFORM. These games would make perfect Christmas gifts for someone that you love so that they can have coaching in a fun and exciting way. So, once again, that website is https://poy4all.com/transform. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna radio show and podcast. Today I am speaking to Kenya Asa. Kenya is the author of Sacred Girl, Spiritual Life Skills for Conscious Young Women. And I love the title of her book because what she's saying in that title is that the only way that you can actually beat trauma and beat your past and beat, you know, whatever, is to become conscious, which is basically what this show is all about, what I have a book called Becoming Conscious, My Awakening. Consciousness is incredibly important. It's the only way that you can take control of your lives. So in the first segment, we talked about how Kenya got into this specific career, why she wrote her book, because of, I like her term, she was dropped into working with the girls with PTSD. And so now, as we get into our second segment, we are going to go deep. My question is, I'm very strong in consciousness and awareness, which is basically, you talk about skills, consciousness. Mm-hmm. But I have found that most girls, and when I say most, I'm just talking about the limited people that I've come into contact with. Mm-hmm. So maybe most is probably a bad word for me, but you can probably agree with that because you've seen hundreds of them. They never go deep. They're never aware. They're never conscious. So how does your program help them with awareness?
Ah, that's a great question. So the way that I approach working with my youth is really from a cognitive behavioral approach. So it's really all about looking at the problem, where we're at right now, then looking at the goal, where we want to be, right? And then we come up with the appropriate strategies to reach our goal. It's very action-oriented. And so it's my belief personally that talking just isn't enough. You know, you hear a lot about talk therapy and all of that stuff, and talking just doesn't do the trick for a lot of people and a lot of the youth that I worked with, not even ones that weren't necessarily traumatized in a way, but just could have just had some problems. And so, you know, my thought was you didn't talk your way into the problem, and so you can't just talk your way out of the problem. And so you really have to do something. There has to be some action. And so that's really what my book is really about, is allowing girls and let's just say youth in general to understand that they have the power, they can cultivate these skills. And, you know, when I was working with my kids and I then decided to do a spirituality group, I could not find any information on exactly what to do. So okay. I was just kind of flailing in the dark, you know. I read a lot of books. We did a lot of activities because I really felt like the movement and the actual thinking of the activities was a way to connect to what was going on with their brain and connect them to their emotions. So we did a lot of yoga. I mean, now I'm a yoga teacher, but back then I had no idea what I was doing. We had like yoga DVDs and stuff like that. But now it's different because now I actually do know what I'm doing. So.
Okay.
It's a little bit better.
Well, I was going to ask you, what are some of the activities that you did with them to help them to become conscious of what they're doing? So you're saying yoga was one of them?
Yeah, because the mind-body connection is mm-hmm. really important, especially when you're dealing with people that have had trauma to their body. And mm-hmm. so it's much harder. Actually, even for adult women, you know, I had an adult friend who had a lot of problems with fertility and trying to get pregnant, and she had this period where she just hated her body because of that. And so I took her to a movement class, and it was so challenging for her that she cried because the way that she hated her body for really not doing what she wanted it to do, which was make babies. Fortunately now she has two babies, and so that's great. But during that period, the mind body connection was really hard, and she was a grown woman. So imagine with, you know, young girls, adolescent girls and teenagers, that was really challenging. It seemed like it wouldn't be that hard. We did other physical activities.
Yeah, so what are some of the other things that you would do with them other than the yoga?
Yeah, so we did a lot of music. We did a lot of singing and dancing and, like, again, forcing everybody to get up. And I didn't care if you just spun around in circles. You know, just moving and dancing and being free, and lots of music. We did lots of groups together where we discussed certain topics, where we discussed our feelings about certain things. We did a whole altar thing, and I talked about that in my book. There's a whole section about altars, and really, because they were in a residential rehab, you know, for them an altar could be their bedside table. You know, or whatever. And it's just putting things onto it that have meaning for you or that make you feel spiritually or psychically connected, right? And so really a lot of it was creativity and tapping into your own creativity, because if you're tapping into your own personal creativity, that's something that just belongs to you. that's something that you're creating, you know, and that's okay. empowering, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, I have, like I said, I mean, it's I love it when things come together so succinctly, but I have been involved in this for years, and I will tell you, I've taken my girls into residential treatment program. They've had a CAT program come to my house, you know, several times a week. We've taken them for group. We've taken them for outpatient counseling. We're doing all that kind of stuff, and all they concentrate on is the first one that you said, which is a problem and a goal, which is why I interrupt you and ask you what else did you do, because that doesn't work. They they tell you, oh, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a OBGYN, I want to be a lawyer, I want to do this, I want to do that. Oh, I understand what my problem is, I do this, I do that, I do that. And then that was it. It was just lip service. But nobody has introduced yoga, nobody introduced music, nobody has introduced altars. They had some group. And group, you know, worked a little bit because with group, then, you know, one of the benefits of group is, you know, listening to other people's stories or maybe your feelings or whatever you do, and maybe there's some kind of identification there. So you should send your books out to some of these, you know, programs because that is great. Now, I understand the music part of it is because I have a daughter-in-law in Toronto, Canada, and she works with youth, not foster care, because I don't even think they have foster care in Canada, I don't know, but she works with youth that have mental problems and also have problems in the juvenile justice system. And she has a program where she uses lyrics from music to actually and tattoos, and which is really unusual. She's called them tattoo stories. So similar to the altar thing, where you know you get a tattoo to, and you put something in your body to signify, you know, something that's happened to you, and you tell your stories from your tattoos. So she has tattoo stories, and she has lyrics of music, and that is how they sent their therapy, and it actually works. You know, they've had some really good breakthroughs on, you know, those two issues. Now, the yoga thing, I was listening to Dr. Dwayne Dwyer this morning, and, you know, he was making a statement that yoga is so good for, you know, body-mind connection, and he's talking about becoming conscious and being in the presence and being here now. And and I said, well, you know, yoga's not for me. But of course, I hear that all the time. You know, I meditate and I run and I walk and I'm conscious and I, you know, and I try to be here now, but I have not incorporated. Well, at one point in time, I had a Wii. Well, I still do. I have a Wii and I would do yoga on the Wii and I just never do it. I still have the programs, but I have never gone to like a yoga class or anything like that. But, you know, maybe I should look into it because, you know, when you hear things over and over again, you know, you've got a hard head if you don't actually do it. But so that was, you know, that was great. And
I love hearing that too, because even one of my friends, she's really my cousin's really good friend, best friend from college and everything. And I'm always talking about yoga on my Instagram page, and I'm always doing yoga and talking about these things on social media. And she messaged me yesterday. She's like, oh, I went to my first yoga class, and it was really, really hard, and I was dying, and I was sweating, and blah, blah, blah. She's like, I can't wait to go again.
And so
I think that it can be very addictive. Like, once you start, and it's hard. Like, my first, like, Bikram class, which is hot, very hot yoga, and it's 90 minutes long. I literally thought I was going to die. Like, I wanted to jump out of a window. It was the worst. You know, it was just the worst. Yeah. I think I even threw up. I mean, it's just awful.
Wow. Well, I guess if you go to the ones that they turn your body all over, I've got all the basic poses, like I said. You know, I was doing it on the Wii, and I know the basic poses and things like that. But I just never did it. All right, well, we have a fantastic conversation. Let's take our second break, and we'll be right back. And then we're going to talk about what advice you have for parents until, you know, how our listeners can get in touch with you. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Having trouble getting a merchant account? Need an international payment gateway? Rejected by another merchant account provider? No problem. iPayTotal wants your business. Our high-risk merchant accounts allow you to accept all major credit and debit cards. Our Motto payment gateway allows accepting transactions on the phone. iPayTotal delivers payment solutions and products to help grow your business. Contact us now for your payment processing at info@iPayTotal.com or visit iPayTotal.com. www.ipaytotal.com, your online payments provider.
If you would like to improve the quality of your life and don't have the budget to hire a coach, then I have an offer for you. Why not play the game of life and learn the skills to maneuver life situations? How many of you have played the game of Monopoly and learned the value of having property to collect rent? Well, Points of View is a leading company in the field of training for personal and business development. Points of View use games to explore significant life themes in a fun, unique, and powerful way. Games are designed for use by professionals, organizations, or individuals. The games are designed to help you look deep inside yourselves and the environment around you. It is a stimulating exploration that sharpens your senses and opens up new possibilities. So who can use Points of View games? Anyone wishing to reconnect and enhance communications with themselves and others. Anyone in search of fresh perspectives on dilemmas, relationships, and decision-making. Those seeking interchange and the opportunity to build new bridges. Points of View is a collection of various games. The coaching game features 65 associate cards that explore significant everyday themes. Punction fosters associate connections between photos, themes, and questions. These flexible combinations make it a fascinating tool, highly effective in dynamic therapy, coaching, and counseling. Faces is a powerful way to get to know ourselves through the observation of others. For more information or to purchase one or more of these games, head over to https://poy4all.com/transform, which is TRANSFORM. These games would make perfect Christmas gifts for someone that you love so that they can have coaching in a fun and exciting way. So, once again, that website is https://poy4all.com/transform. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we have been having a very interesting conversation with author Kenya Asa. Kenya is the author of Sacred Girl, Spiritual Life Skills for the Conscious Woman. And when she says woman, I guess she's talking about the youth. What we've been doing is that we've been talking about, you know, PTSD and how it affects our youth, foster care system, or any youth that has any kind of neglect, trauma, sexual abuse, or being raised by maybe a non-biological family that is not committed to their well-being and offering them love. So as a parent, and as, you know, anybody that's listening right now that is a parent to a teenager that you're having some problems with, you know, I want to ask Kenya, what are some of the things that she thinks that parents can do? And then after she talks, which is where I'm going to interject my new learning.
Yay.
I've been thinking about it for a long time.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear that.
All right.
So what I would say as far as parents go is that there's no one cookie cutter way of dealing with the problems of children or youth, because every kid is different. Every kid has their different experiences. And they are so vast that it's hard to even say. And then on top of that, there is an issue, a scientific issue, you know, about however their brain chemistry may have been affected, because you're also talking about things like neglect and nutrition and all of these things that can affect your child in a different way. But what I would definitely first and foremost look at is some sort of professional intervention from a mental health professional. If you have not done that, please do. And if it's possible to get a diagnosis, great, but don't just rest on that diagnosis, because there can be some sort of diagnosis and then you might have to go a little deeper and you might have to try some unconventional stuff, which is kind of what I did. Because the conventional stuff just wasn't doing the trick. And so that's why I looked deeper and I looked towards a more spiritual path and things that would connect them spiritually, because the rest of it just wasn't working and I was at a loss and I had to do a lot of research in order to figure out what to do. And then that's where my book comes in.
Awesome. All right. So my experience has been this. You know, as an adoptive parent, I have a lot of love to give. You know, I adopted when my daughter was out of the house, when I was an empty nester, and I adopted beautiful twin girls, and they're beautiful, and they look like me, and so I had a lot of love to give. So I know, right?
Oh,
but,
I love it.
And then I was very hurt when it didn't look like they loved me back, and that it didn't look like anything that I was doing for them was being appreciated. I felt that they were ungrateful, and I felt that, hey, you know what? If I were you, then I would want to be different than my mom. I would want to not go and get pregnant and bring a kid into the foster care system. I wouldn't be promiscuous. I wouldn't go and get arrested and go to jail, you know, so my kids can be taken away from me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go that route. Mm-hmm. But I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I happen to listen to a podcast by Dr. Bruce Lipton, and he said something about quantum mechanics or quantum physics, and I thought, you know what, I should find out about that, because that's something that I've been dabbling in for a while. You know, way back when I wrote my first book, Becoming Conscious, My Awakening, I was dabbling in it. So I thought I'm going to go ahead and get that book, and then I've had guests on my show that talked about quantum. And then I was listening to a podcast, or actually a YouTube video, and the guy talked about the quantum with Dr. Bruce Lipton. So I went and I got his book, The Biology of Belief. And I will tell you, it is a profound book. Basically, what he says is that we have programs that are downloaded into our subconscious, which is running the show, in utero in the first 6 years of our life. And everything that we do is based on these programs. Your environment determines, trauma changes your cells, your perception, which is your thought, changes your cells. Those are the three things that changes your cells, right? And what he says, unless your subconscious is like a tape player, and unless you rewrite that tape, you're always going to be going back to those subconscious programs, right? So we've got a whole bunch of things that's involved in here. We've got the trauma, which changes the cells, which is basically your thing. We've got the thoughts, which changes the cells as well, because perception is your reality. If you perceive that, you know, I live in a beautiful home, You know, my girls have their own room, and they have their a bathroom in their room, and they have a TV, and they have games, and everybody that comes in say, hey, mm-hmm. you've got a beautiful house, you've got a mom and dad that loves you, but they don't perceive it that way. They
right.
don't perceive
Absolutely.
It that's their house. mm-hmm. They perceive right. it as my house, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the perceptions mm-hmm. become their reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that
yeah.
is why nothing that I have done has made an impact, because until they become conscious, like you're talking about, right,
mm-hmm.
and rewrite
mm-hmm.
that program, they're just responding to subconscious programming, right? And because
That's
you're
right.
a spirituality person, and because you know about consciousness, I know that you know that 90 to 99% of people behave from the subconscious. There's not too many people that are conscious, not even the kids with trauma, everybody, right?
Right.
Just the subconscious is running the game, right? When you're not mm-hmm. paying attention, your subconscious is running the game.
Right, right. Yeah, and that you really hit the nail on the head, because the truth of the matter is we can give them love and beautiful things and a beautiful home and all of these other things, but that's not their internal world. Right? That's not their what's going on in their mind. And like I was saying earlier about brain chemistry and nutrition and all these other things, like the book that you were talking about says, so much of that stuff was set in stone before you even came along.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
you know, and so
I didn't know them when they were six.
Right. So then what happens is, you know, and I have another friend I mentioned to you in one of our earlier conversations too, that also adopted beautiful twin girls. And,
oh, really? Right.
And yeah. And that it was fraught with a mess in a lot of ways, very, very challenging. And, and they had been previously traumatized and all this other stuff. And so she took that on, and you are somebody who knows firsthand. You know, you can imagine exactly what she went through. And
yeah.
so that's where one of the things that reasons I wrote my book, and when I was working with kids that had been through this, is that they have to be taught how, why, when, and the methods to walk their own path and to heal themselves. Because that, you know what I mean? And so they, like, if we can love them to pieces, but it is not going to work unless they're given a set of skills and taught a set of tools to heal themselves.
Consciousness. That's the big word.
That's right. We can't heal them.
That's the big word. According to Dr. Bruce Litton, the only thing that you can write your programs is becoming conscious. Right.
Absolutely.
And people throw that around, but I just realized how important that word was. I understood what it is now.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a big one, and it encompasses so much.
Yes.
And
it's powerful,
lot to
too.
Ask for a young person. It's a lot to ask for young kids or young girls.
Yes.
It's a huge amount of
it's
work.
Almost impossible, I would think.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
not
somebody. Yeah, right, yeah. Well, I was told by some professionals that it's not until they become adults that they're going to learn. And I think that's what a lot of people just feel, that, you know, maybe you give them the information and they don't use it now, but maybe later on they will. But I would say that there's not too many teenagers that learn how to work this stuff. They have to be special ones, like you said, very special people.
Well, but also it has to be drilled into them. Like, I was with them a lot. You know, sometimes I spent the night. You know, I mean, really, I was with them a lot. And then here we are 20
years
later.
Well, you care, too. And that works. Yes, you care.
Yeah, But it's 20 years later now, and I get to see kind of the fruits of my labor, which is
exactly.
Really
like I just said, it takes some time. It's not going to be immediate. It takes some time, and maybe when they become adults or so. Well, you know, we were
and
talking.
And I'm glad I was in a unique position to be able to still be in touch with them after all these years.
That's good.
You know, one of them came to my book release party, and, you know, and so it's really nice to see individually what they say about the work that we did when they were 15 and 16 years old, you know,
That's
and
awesome.
How that has affected them to this day. And so what that says to me is that, you know, this stuff actually worked. Who knew?
Well, it does, and it's just like my, you know, my grandmother would say, you train it. Well, the Bible says it, but if you train a child the way they should go, and when they're old, they wouldn't depart from it. A lot of times, you know, you say things to your children, and they don't listen, and they don't hear about it. But then when they get their own children, they'll bring it up and they'll remember, because just like the subconscious mind I just talked about, it records everything. It records everything, and then it brings it back to you when you don't even, you know, when you're not conscious. So it's great. Well, we're flat out of time, so you've got a few minutes to tell the audience how to get in touch with you and to pick up a copy of your book.
Awesome. So, yeah, thank you so much. My book is available on Amazon.com, and if you just search Sacred Girl and then my last name, Kenya Asa, A-I-S-S-A, you will find it on Amazon, and it's $15.99 on Amazon. It's got a beautiful cover art, thanks to my wonderful illustrator, Amelia Suva. And you can get in touch with me. Please follow me on my new Sacred Girl Book Instagram page. I'm super excited. It's just at Sacred Girl Book on Instagram.
Okay.
And I throw some of my quotes up there. And I also throw other quotes up there, too. Yeah, and I'll follow you back. So Facebook, I'm Ruby Envy on Facebook. And then my website is RubyEnvyWellness.com, RubyEnvyWellness.com.
Okay, awesome. Well, listen, I want to thank Kenya for this fascinating conversation. We didn't want to stop. We're probably almost, you know, over our time. But I want to thank you guys for all tuning in as well to the Transform Your Mind Radio Show and Podcast. The show is converted to iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast, TuneIn. It's on YouTube. So my advice to you is, because I bring you great, great guests like Kenya every week, so that you can have the tools to live your best life now. So if you don't catch the show on Wednesday on radio, make sure you subscribe and, you know, follow Sacred Girl on Instagram. If you have a teenager or youth that you would like to get some insight on how to deal with them. So thank you for the insights that you've given me, and I think
thank
I like
you.
The music and yoga thing. Maybe I'll incorporate that and see if that works.
Totally. Well, thank you so much.
All right, well, thank you. All right, yes. Well, until next time, namaste.